Hello, folks, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today feature. I'm your host, Tom Majeur, and we're on the road. Well, actually, the interviewee is on the road. He is up in the Upper Peninsula. His name is Alan Prizer. Welcome, Alan.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here.
Well, those of us that are trolls underneath the bridge are saying hi to you.
Awesome.
Hey, listen, I understand you have an event that your congregation puts on every single year, and our listeners might like to know about it. What is this event that's happening on December 15th? Is it 2 days, 15th and 16th?
That's correct, Tom. We call it the Live Nativity. It's a celebration of God's great gift of His Son to this whole planet. And our church wanted to do something to reach out and share that love in our community. And it's an event that people, mostly families, will bring themselves and friends, guests. And it's an interactive experience where they walk through scenes and see perhaps the Mary and Joseph scene or No Room at the Inn or what the wise men are thinking or contemplating. And it's very interesting as you walk from scene to scene when these groups. And then at the very end, we have a nice area where people can sit down and eat a meal. Food is provided, soup is provided, snacks. And it's an excellent way to just sit down and talk about this time of season or visit with our friends. It's quite an experience.
Very good. Well, listeners, we're going to have a word of prayer. And then afterwards, we'll find out much more about the Wilson Live Nativity held in the Upper Peninsula. Let's pray now. Our great Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, that you cared enough to send your Son who volunteered to take on this assignment to save us. And it was a great cost. It was great humbling, but He did it out of love. And we're exploring this with the Wilson congregation this year, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Alan, for the first time in my life, I was in Wilson, Michigan, and it is actually, I had spent a day or so there, and it was a wonderful experience. But I don't know if I was in downtown Wilson or not, but I was out at the Wilson Seventh-day Adventist Church. I actually had a chance to stay in your parsonage with your pastor, and I was there to interview your school, to share about the delightful church school that you have with the Wilson Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Awesome.
Yes, it is. You have a great teaching staff and education par excellence there. Now, well, I was there, and I only went. I went from the parsonage to the church school, and back to the parsonage. Then we went to prayer meeting, enjoyed a wonderful service with your pastor there, and members of the congregation. Nice turnout. I thought that there was about 15-20 people there for prayer meeting, and it was a variety. It was young people, some young adults, and the senior. Were there. It was a nice experience. So that was a warm welcome to a beautiful church. Your church is fairly new up there. How long has it been since you opened the church?
Good question. You got me there. Probably 2 or 3 years. It still feels brand new to us. It looks new, and we're just celebrating being able to worship God in such a wonderful place.
There's a wonderful tradition. I don't know if you've been there from the very beginning of the founding of the Wilson Seventh-day Adventist Church, but a lively congregation, a very supportive one who supports their congregation as well as their education, a portion of the ministries of the church there.
Absolutely. God has blessed us with that school, and it's interesting that without that school, it would be hard to imagine how our church would exist and function. We are really dedicated to Christian education. Our children grow up in a wonderful environment out in nature, and we've had wonderful teachers through the years. So that school is an integral part of our congregation, and we're just so excited and pleased that God has continued to bless that institution.
Just an idea. You have a wonderful building. I wasn't even in the sanctuary. We were just in the rooms that you have Christian education or Sabbath school, as most of the Adventist congregations call it. But if you happen to be in the UP visiting for any reason, drop by on a Wednesday night for midweek service, or also on Saturday morning for that. And I'm sure during the week, I'm sure you have an active congregation with many things going on for people and the community as a whole.
Absolutely.
And one of those, tell us a little bit about the size of your congregation. How many members do you have at your church?
Good question. There's probably over 200 members that are on the books. There's probably about 100 to 150 attending each week. And when I first moved to the area, I couldn't understand. You saw the building. It's located in the middle of nowhere. Where do these people come from? And yet, on Sabbath or Pathfinders or for our midweek service that you've alluded to, people show up, and it's just such a blessing to worship together in that building.
The other thing is, did I see a cemetery somewhere around the church? Was there actually a church cemetery there?
There is. And the unique thing about that cemetery is there's many people who are not even church members, former evangelists, pastors that have moved on, are buried in that cemetery. They want to be right there in Wilson, Michigan when Jesus comes soon. And that's where they want to see him. So it's a very interesting part of our congregation or our facility that I've kind of looked over. So interesting that you mentioned that.
You mentioned something that you drive down this country road. The main highway, one of the main highways along the southern shoreline of Lake Michigan, the northern shoreline of Lake Michigan, but the southern of the Upper Peninsula, is it US 2?
That's correct.
And you're defined by what your proximity is to US 2, it seems like, through much of the Upper Peninsula.
That's correct.
And so you come south of that. How far off of US 2 do you come till you come to this community of Wilson?
It's about 5 miles.
About 5 miles. And how far are you from the bridge? You aren't a hop, skip, and a jump.
No, it's about 2.5 hours to the bridge from where we're at.
And in the Upper Peninsula, they talk in hours and... going across the Upper Peninsula, you can travel. What is it, the distance from the bridge all the way to the western side of the Upper Peninsula?
Now, that's tough trivia. I don't have the answer for that, honestly. It's a long drive, and you nailed it. We use time rather than distance. I would guess that it's probably about 6 hours across the UP from one end to the other, maybe 7.
That's amazing. We live... my wife's family is from Grand Rapids, and we moved to southern Ohio, you could get to southern Ohio quicker than you could go from Grand Rapids to the western UP.
Absolutely. Big state.
It's a big state. Hey, that little community of Wilson, is there something just south of the campus of the church and the school?
I don't know. We have a couple of buildings or houses that the church owns. Is that what you're referring to? You mentioned one earlier.
Is there a downtown Wilson, I guess, is the question.
No, if you were to go past the road that the church was on US 2, you'll eventually get to Wilson. Wilson today consists of a post office, period. At one time, there were several buildings and maybe some businesses going on, but that was probably 40 to 50 years ago. So today, Wilson is a post office.
Okay. Well, I never went that far down the road to Wilson myself, but the reason we're talking is to talk about this live nativity. Could you give us an idea of what the experience is, start to finish? How many stations? What is the storyline? Is the storyline the same? I've got notices, and we've put it on Strong Tower Radio in the past. What is the storyline? Is it the same every year or does it change? Give our listeners, how is this the same as most of the live nativities they've been to, or is there a special twist to it at the Wilson Seventh-day Adventist live nativity?
That's a great question, and I'll answer the second question you kind of answered first. It is not the same year to year. There is a continual attempt to improve on the flow from scene to scene, the messaging, the presentation of each scene. So it's constantly improving. For example, I'm sure you're, Tom, familiar with the book, The Desire of Ages.
Correct.
One of the most excellent books on the life of Jesus ever written. And in this particular year, the editors have worked very diligently to bring the words of that book into the particular scenes. So for example, maybe what were the angels thinking as they watched no one on earth get ready for Jesus to come other than a few shepherds? And so those are a new addition this year that I'm very excited to hear. To answer your other question, there is a flow from scene to scene. To answer how many scenes, I would guess probably about 7, maybe 8. And each of these scenes has a focus on the groups or individuals involved in the nativity story and what they might look like, what they might be experiencing when you watch live what is taking place. So, for example, you get to watch Mary and Joseph, pregnant Mary, on a donkey approach the inn and watch what happens when they don't have any place for them in the inn to stay. It's impactful to see what Mary and Joseph would have experienced when there's just nowhere to go. And so seeing, listening, and watching this brings the story to life in a way that perhaps reading it or seeing it in a book or illustration is just not going to give it the full value. And so each, go ahead.
Oh, please continue. But I just, you know, the thought occurred to me that I was in a live nativity at one time when we were in Southern Illinois, and it was a community affair, and I was given the lowly shepherd role, and my job was to announce, to tell people about what we had experienced by the host of angels. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting. We talked about the experience. You shared the experience of those who go through the live nativity from scene to scene. But what is the impact upon those who are participate and put on the program? What impact does it have on them?
That is such an excellent question. From setting up the stores, the outdoor buildings, the fencing, the lights, the decorations inside. Our church is like a beehive of people all over the place doing little bits here and there to make this come together. You can imagine the scope of a whole campus filled with decorations and signs and parking and all these things. And Tom, the interesting thing is we've joked that if no one came from our community to this event, we would still do it just for the joy and the excitement that it brings to each member of our congregation. You see people doing things that you didn't expect that they could do or would do, and everyone has a smile on their face. There's excitement, there's joy, and it is such a gift to be able to be participating in this event. And I can add, from whether it's cooking food or preparing the costumes or whatever it is, there is a role for everyone, and I'm so grateful that each member of our congregation steps up in some way to participate in this. So there's very few programs or events that I can think of that are so encompassing of every church member. Children, old people, people that aren't part of our congregation that worship elsewhere are all included, and it just continues to grow and be a greater blessing every year.
I thought I heard you say, or at least imply, the word community.
Mm-hmm. It is so focused on, well, for us, it's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We know that people drive 4 to 6 hours for this event to either stay with family and come to it, or just to make sure they come. And the resounding theme from our community is, when is that program that your church is doing? I want to know. And just this week, I bumped into a colleague that I worked with a few years ago, and he said, what is the dates of the program? My two granddaughters could not stop talking about it last year, and I understand you do it two nights in a row, and I said, that's correct. He said, they want to come to both nights. He said, if you did it for six nights, they'd probably be there for six nights.
Oh, what a testimony. Tell me a little bit about each. We started into that. There's up to seven stations. How much time do you spend at a given? I heard you each station. I heard you talk about Mary on a donkey, a live one, and Joseph.
Yep.
What detail?
Yep. There's. I'll just walk you through. When people come in, there's a large influx of people, and kind of like a busy restaurant, you get a beeper or pager to let you know when your group is ready. People can wait in the sanctuary, and there's beautiful Christian Christmas music playing, and it's a nice place to relax, warm up, because a lot of this time does go outside. And once your group is ready, you have a tour guide that takes you from each scene to each scene. And I would say, Tom, on average, it's probably about 5 to 8 minutes at each of the scenes. They're not very long, and they keep moving so that even young children, they're enraptured by what they're seeing and hearing. But the movement doesn't stall so that people somehow lose interest in what's going on. And as moving from these scenes inside the church, outside the church, through a village, live animals are there. Kids can pet and enjoy the animals that are out there. You've already talked about Mary on a donkey. She's there. There's shepherds out in the field around a bonfire. There's angels that are singing. It is a all-encompassing sensory event. It's just wonderful.
Oh, that's totally awesome. You said outside, and, you know, those of us, we've been called trolls before, below the bridge. And when we think of the UP, I mean, I've never been up there in the winter. I've seen the doing the ice sculptures and stuff at one of the universities.
Yep.
Sounds kind of cold up there. Is it cold in Wilson?
Yes, it is. And that's one of the interesting things. The weather we certainly don't have control of. So we encourage people to bring their boots and their hats and their mittens and be bundled up. The good news is, depending on, like last year, it was wonderful. It's like God queued up the snow to just add a beautiful element to everything. But let me tell you something. When you're shuffling around outside and you see the shepherds gathered around a fire, that's real heat. And people gather around that fire to get heat. So it is awesome.
Are you telling me that he joined the shepherds?
Yeah, we'll join anybody with a fire at that point. You would you would do anything to get warm.
Oh, my memory just popped up. I was going to preface my remarks with the fact that I went to an outdoor nativity and along the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. I think that the environment was a little different.
That would be a lot different. Yeah, flip-flops instead of galoshes and boots.
Absolutely. So I heard that you have these multiple stations. How many people come to this event? You've over two nights. Apparently, you have a large enough audience you need to have multiple event times. Tell us a little bit about, you said people come up to four to six all over the UP, apparently.
Yes, it's all over the UP, downstate Wisconsin, downstate Michigan. People will come up for this event. It is that wonderful. As far as the distance or time that people are going to be spending to get there, I would say there's probably hundreds that attend every year. The weather does play a factor, as you just mentioned, if it's really, really cold. But it's not so cold that people are going to freeze. You're moving from the church through the outside and then back into the school structure, which you had mentioned earlier. So you're not going to freeze. I'm not trying to imply that, but it will be a warm experience in start and finish, especially when that warm soup or that hot drink that you like is a great way to just sit down and relax at the end. And that last part, Tom, is where we really have a nice opportunity to visit with our community. Many of these individuals are our coworkers, they're our friends, they're our neighbors. And during the year, as you can imagine, everyone's so busy. But at this time of the year, to sit down with family and friends over a hot bowl of soup or a hot drink. It's just a wonderful time to connect, and always talk turns to what a gift God has given us and giving us his son at this time of year we celebrate.
Absolutely. Now, just as far as the layout, the churches on the east side of the road that goes through Wilson up to US 2, which goes east and west, this is a north and south road. You said the school, and I assumed it's in the church parking lot. Do you work both sides of the road?
We do, and it's interesting you mentioned that. The procession goes out of the back of the church, around the back, and then does cross that road. We have flaggers with emergency lighting on both ends of our campus, and so traffic that is moving down that road proceeds very slowly, and sometimes the groups have to pause to wait for a vehicle to go across. But it's one of the fun things of just going around outside from the main church building out around the back and then through the baseball field over there and then back into the school. So it's winding all over.
I just have an imagination that most of the people are just coming to see the event that are coming down the road. They're just turning in.
Well, they probably will, because when you see something like this and you know where it's located out in the middle of nowhere, the first question is, what is going on? So it's well publicized in the area. Everyone knows what's going on.
Okay, awesome. Tell me, what are some of your most memorable experiences from guests that have attended, or maybe even one of the variations on the theme of the nativity that was most memorable for you?
There are several that come to mind. Children are very influenced or struck with what they see, and they often look at baby Jesus at the very end, and one of the types that we have done, Joseph and Mary are in a little stable. They've delivered the baby, and we sing Silent Night. And when you stand with a group of people and sing Silent Night with it snowing quietly, and then have a closing prayer with them, it is as if heaven is just pulled down right next to earth. So the children are often interested in animals. That's kind of interesting. But when they see and understand that the shepherds were real shepherds and that Mary was in pain and that there was just not a royal welcome that Jesus deserved when he came to this earth, it affects people when they walk away. They go, wow, that was really awesome. Christmas becomes entirely different. There is no commercialization in this view of what Jesus has done for us and what all of heaven has poured out in the gift of his son.
Amen. This sounds like kind of a public service of the Wilson Church. Is there a fundraising? Is there donations? How do you support this event?
That's a great question. It's now become part of our church budget, so we allocate funds directly for this. It's our largest evangelistic event that we put on throughout the year that really does affect a large number of people in our community. So it's funded there. And almost every person walking in is saying, where do I pay? How much is it? And so at the end of the tour in that area where the food and drinks are, there is a donation box. And the donations are quite impressive. People are very generous in supporting something that they see that is promoting the clear view of what Christmas is really all about.
Amen. Sounds like a wonderful event. You know, I'm beginning to have a kinship to my friends up in the UP. We've been up there 2 years. There's a camp meeting, religious meetings. We've been up there 2 years in a row, and up at your camp, Segola.
Yep.
And then I've had the opportunity to tour the Escanaba. They have a food pantry. We're going to be putting that on Strong Tower Radio. It was so extensive up there. That's how far is that? 45 minutes or so from Wilson?
Just 20 minutes. Just 20 minutes.
And what a wonderful work. There are hundreds of people being served and a vibrant group of people. It's said to be one of the largest food pantries in the Upper Peninsula. And they visited a school over at Ironwood, and and then visiting your school, and then I went over to the far east up to Sault Ste. Marie and see their church as they're doing that renovation. So there's a lot of wonderful stuff going on in the UP.
That's correct. God is blessing.
Well, as we come to the end of the program, why don't you give the who, what, when, where, and why? I probably have a couple extra things in there, but tell listeners how they, if they're planning to come this year, or how to plan ahead for next year.
That's an excellent point. And I just want to make sure everyone that's hearing this knows that they're welcome to come. And it may not be this year due to timing and circumstances, but it is something you want to experience once in your lifetime. And as you mentioned, Tom, viewing a live nativity, most live nativities are static, that the people are sitting in one area. This is moving all around, and I think that's probably the thing that differentiates it most from others, not that there's any competition other than trying to promote the love of God to everyone we can. But to answer your original question, www.wilsonsdachurch.org, and when you go to that website, all the information there on time, contact information is right there. And each year it is run in the first part of December. Sometimes the weekend differ depending on what's going on in the area. So just stay tuned to that website throughout the year. And about Thanksgiving, you will see when those dates will be for next year. And this year, of course, you mentioned December 15 and 16 from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. We have two time zones up here, so I want to stress that it's Eastern time that you'll see on the website. And again, the phone number is listed there. Any questions, give us a call, and we'll be happy to have you come.
Again, this year, it will be December 15th and 16th from 6:30 to 8:30. How much time might they want to, if leisurely, or if they want to squeeze it in, what would kind of be the time parameters for a visit to the Wilson Live Nativity?
Great question. I would say the tour takes about half an hour, and most people will sit down and grab something to eat or drink. So I see very few people leaving just directly after the tour is over. So I would plan on half an hour for the tour. You could certainly leave after that. And I would say another half hour to just enjoy yourself.
Fantastic. Well, Alan, what a pleasure to talk to you. Who participates and is a member of the congregation that puts this on. This is a Wilson Seventh-day Adventist Church, the annual live nativity in Wilson, Michigan. And you can go to the Wilson website to find out the particulars for this year or next year, maybe after Thanksgiving, to find the specific dates of December that the event will be held for next year. But sounds like it's a destination.
Absolutely. Something you want to experience at least once in your life before Jesus comes.
Amen. Go across that mighty Mac for those trolls below the bridge and head on west to Wilson, Michigan.
That's right. Happy to see you.
Thank you so much, Alan, for joining us by cell phone in the Upper Peninsula from the Wilson Seventh-day Adventist Church. For Strong Tower Radio feature, I'm your host, Tom Majeure. God bless. Bye now.